have three to choose from. Welcome back to our study of Luke. We're going to be heading in a different direction during this session. We had mentioned at the last session about Jesus being our Sabbath. And we had a question during break about that. And so we're going to take some time this session to address that question. Because many people consider the Sabbath to be a particular day. And what happens when we do that is we get our eyes diverted off of what we should be looking at, and where I should be fixed is with Jesus. And there's a lot to learn about this. So we're going to...
Before you read, let me explain something here about Sabbath. We know that there was 7 days, okay? Mm-hmm. And so we know that they were to honor that seventh day. And I'm not going to split hairs over what day it was, okay? We operate by a Gregorian calendar. They operated by a Jewish calendar. They had 30 days in all their months and put an intercalary month in ever so often. So I'm not getting into all that. Here's what I want you to see. Every one of, when they had their festivals, God appointed them 6 festivals that they were to celebrate. Okay? And so, the festivals, for instance, the Passover, and that was followed with the unleavened bread. They actually just incorporated it and called it, just started calling it either unleavened bread or Passover, one or the other. That was a day, a date. A date, the first month, 15th day of the month. Now it says that that's to be a Sabbath. You're to have a holy convocation. And there's others. I'm just pulling one, okay? And so during these festivals, it didn't matter what day of the week that was. Whether it was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, that was called a Sabbath. And you could not do any common labor on that day, or you'd be cut off. That's how serious it was. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, okay? And so what he's saying is on the designated rest day, you can't work. And so you could have Sabbath on a Sunday. You could have Sabbath on a Monday. Whatever that seventh day was, if you had a festival that was on the eighth day, then you'd have 2 Sabbaths in a row. You with me? Because on neither one of them you could work. Now the emphasis in Genesis is God rested from his work. From his work. Just remember that, because we're going to look at it here as we go along. Now, most or a big portion of Jesus' criticism was for violating the Sabbath. Like in the 6th chapter of Luke, his disciples going through the cornfields, picking corns and upset. They're eating. They're not gathering. They're not harvesting. And the law allowed that. But these religious leaders had added to the law. They had embellished things and put their own personal opinions and traditions into this. And so they're rebuking and getting upset with Jesus. Why do you let your disciples violate the Sabbath? And he reminds them of David and some other things, okay? But here's the bottom line. He said the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. The man was not made for the day. The day was made for the man. Okay? Now, with that in mind, I ask Heather to read Colossians 2, verses 16 to 17. And she's reading out of the Holman Christian Standard Bible.
Therefore, don't let anyone judge you in regard to food and drink, or in the matter of a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of what was to come. The substance is the Messiah.
Now, I want you to look very closely at that. It says, let no man judge you in the food you eat.
Mm-hmm.
Some want you to be total vegetarians. They've never studied the priest's diet. And God's the one that gave the diet. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
It says, let no man judge you in your food or in your drink or in respect of any holy day or of new moon. That was a festival. They blew the trumpet and all on that. Or of the Sabbath days. Now note this, which are a shadow. I think everybody in here knows what a shadow is, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, think of it in relation to a person. You ever seen a person walking down a sidewalk and you see the shadow first,
mm-hmm.
especially if you're on the side street? You see the shadow before you see the person. Well, what does the shadow tell you?
Someone's coming.
There's a substance coming.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the substance,
mm-hmm.
but there's something coming. And so this is what Paul is saying here to the Colossians. You guys, you're letting people get you hung up on these days. And he said, I'm concerned about you. Because these days were actually shadows pointing to substance. And then he lets you know who the substance is. The substance is Christ. And so all the things in the law were pointing to Jesus. Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy it, I came to fulfill it. This is talking about me, and I'm going to fulfill what it said. And so the rest day was talking about me. I'm going to fulfill that rest. And we'll get into this a little bit farther as we go along. Okay? Now, you understand the difference between shadow and substance.
Mm-hmm.
The law was not substance. It was shadow. It was type. Now remember this. God showed Moses on the mountain how to build the tabernacle. He saw the heavenly pattern. And my paraphrase is this. God said to Moses, do not deviate from the pattern. But you make that tabernacle exactly like you saw in heaven. And so Moses goes down and conveys that, and they, what you see in the tabernacle, all the vessels, all the everything that's going on is not the substance. It's a copy. The real, the pattern is in heaven. And so these things down here are going, the copies are using animal sacrifices. But that's not going to be good enough for heaven. Okay? So it's pointing to what Jesus is going to do. All right? Now, if you would, start reading in Hebrews chapter 4 and probably down through verse 12.
Okay. Therefore, while the promise to enter his rest remains, let us fear that none of you should miss it. For we also have received the good news just as they did. But the message they heard did not benefit them.
Let's stop just a minute. Let's go back to verse 1.
Okay.
Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us, what's the promise? Enter into his rest.
Mm-hmm.
That's the promise. Enter into his rest.
Mm-hmm.
That any of you would seem to come short of entering into that rest. That's the message that he said. He said, for unto us the gospel was preached as well as to them, but the word preached didn't profit them. Why? They didn't pay any attention to it. They didn't mix it with faith, is what he's saying here. So they didn't mix that. They hear the word of God, they didn't believe it. So they can't get into the rest because they don't believe what's being said about the rest. Okay? I don't know where you start.
I'm going to start with verse 2 and just pick up to keep the sentence together. Okay. For we also have received the good news just as they did, but the message they heard did not benefit them, since they were not united with those who heard it in faith. For we who have believed enter the rest.
All right, look at that.
Yes.
Those who believe,
yeah,
enter into it. Those who believe in Jesus enter into Sabbath. They enter into rest. Okay? All right, go ahead and keep reading.
In keeping with what he said, so I swore in my anger, they will not enter my rest. And yet his works have been finished since the foundation of the world.
Now think about that.
Mm-hmm.
From the founding of the world, the work was finished. God, the Lamb slain from the founding of the world. Before the world was founded, God had this already laid out, and he gave the law just to show what was going to happen in the future. Okay? It's all pointing. It's a shadow that is pointing. Now, what did God do? He ceased from his work, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everything's finished from the founding of the world, okay? He didn't say, well, I missed something. No, it's a finished work, all right? Let's keep reading.
For somewhere, he has spoken about the seventh day in this way, and on the seventh day, God rested from all his works. Again, in that passage, he says, they will never enter my rest.
Here again, God rested from his work if they'll enter in. Enter in. His type, his shadow, okay?
Since it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news did not enter because of disobedience.
Now, here's the thing. You can't enter into the rest without faith. You have to believe. Keeping a day is not entering a rest. You with me? It was just pointing to what was to come. That's why I said labor to enter in. All right?
Again, sorry, I lost my place. I think verse 7. Again, he specifies a certain day, today, speaking through David after such a long time, as previously stated. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts.
Get verse 8.
I will. For if Joshua, or Jesus.
Joshua.
Or if, yes, that's right, this is important. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day.
Now, I want you to think about this.
Yes.
Joshua led the nation of Israel into the promised land. What did God promise the nation of Israel before Moses led them out of Egypt? That he was going to take them into a land.
Yeah.
They were going to live in houses they didn't build. They were going to eat from crops they didn't plant. They were going to eat out of vineyards that they didn't have anything to do with. In other words, they're going to enjoy someone else's labor. So he calls that a rest. But if that was just, if it had just ended with Joshua taking them into the promised land, then he wouldn't be speaking about another rest. And incidentally, in the Hebrew, it's Jehoshua, and the equivalent of that in the Greek or the transliteration is Jesus. That's why if you have a King James Version, it's saying Jesus. If Jesus had taken them in. But it's actually Joshua is who he's referring to. The context will tell you that. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Go ahead and keep
Verse
going.
9. Therefore, a Sabbath rest remains for God's people. For the person who has entered his rest has rested from his own works, just as God did from his.
All right. Now, let's look at this. He who enters into the rest has stopped working. He ceased from his own works. Is that what it says? All right. What did the law have you do?
Working.
It was work, 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 work. You're trying to do this. You're trying to do this. What did the religious system have you doing?
Working.
Working, 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 working. And Jesus comes along and he says, believe in me. They couldn't handle that. And see, Paul has to write to the Galatians. He goes in and preaches.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the region of Galatians. People are getting born again by putting their faith in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. But then you have religious people coming in after Paul left. They say, well, that's good, but you're going to have to add circumcision to that.
Yeah.
That's works.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul's writing that letter to the Galatians. You did run well. Who hindered you? Did you think you could start in faith and finish in works? You see, that's what a lot of people are trying to do. They say, well, I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. I confess with my mouth. And now I'm going to do these things, these various works, and keep all the rules of the church and all this, so I'll have favor with God. The only favor you're going to get with God is the favor Jesus has. And so you're in Jesus. You want favor with God? Rest in Jesus. You follow me? Are you getting the picture here of what he's saying? And so he says, if you enter into the rest, then you don't have to do anything now. You believe in what's already been done. Jesus finished the work. What was the work? Fulfill the law. You can't do it. No man could fulfill the law. It wasn't his nature.
Yeah.
Try as he may. He could keep all of it but one point, but if you miss one point, violate one point, then you broke the law. Because the law is a whole. Okay, so no man could do it, but Jesus fulfilled it. And so we rest in His finished work, what He did. That's why He says we cease from our labor. Okay? All right.
Let us make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fall into the same pattern of disobedience.
Now, here again, just think about this. What he's saying is don't follow the pattern set by the Israelites. They wouldn't go into the rest. You know, when Moses took them up, they wouldn't go into the rest. He ended up wandering around in the wilderness, didn't he? Why didn't they go up? Because of unbelief. And God calls unbelief evil. You look at the 13th chapter of Numbers. They brought back an evil report. What was the report? We can't do it. God said do it. We say we can't. Only thing they're thinking of is they'd have to work to do it. God said, I've given you the land. Go possess it. Go possess it. You follow me? So he tells us that we need to put forth every effort that we don't do like they did, that you believe. You put forth every effort to believe in what the work that Jesus has done. Now, a lot of people take this next verse and just pull it out of context, not understanding where it's written. And so if you look at verse...
Before we do that...
Okay.
When you think about works, it's not about performance to believe in Jesus. You understand, so many of us may have been taught this way, that to be united with Jesus, it requires a certain performance or to do a certain way, to behave in a certain manner. And you see, that's where we miss it. That's the works, you understand. Strive as we may, we can't obtain the gift that Jesus gives us. We cannot, of our own accord, do enough, be enough, whatever. If that were the case, just as it was stated earlier, the law would have been sufficient, right? The law would have been all we needed. But this performance issue can be a big hang-up with some people. And it ties us, when we're concerned about our performance, it ties us right back to the law. So that puts us right under the law, and we're missing it.
You know, I've been in various countries, and I've stood and watched people in the style of worship. They'll abuse themselves, agonize, and do all types of crazy stuff. All works, trying to get the favor of whatever particular God that may be. Now, you ever heard of Martin Luther? You know what he was doing with the Catholic Church when he nailed his thesis on the door? The Catholic Church was having people to pay. They were having to do works in order to get repentance. And God gave Martin Luther the revelation of the just live by faith. What's faith? You're resting. Resting in what? The work Jesus did. That Jesus took care of the sin problem. Rest in it. And that's why the church put a bounty on their head, because they're making a lot of money off of people coming in and paying and all this type of stuff. You understand? Denominations today are still emphasizing works, not faith. Now, they'll tell you to believe in Jesus, but it's like the Galatians. They want to add some works to it. And there's no work to be added. Now, you look at, are we ready to go into that
verse? Yes, sir.
Okay, let's look at it.
Verse 12. For the word of God is living and effective and sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It is able to judge the ideas and thoughts of the heart.
Now think about this. God's word is more powerful than works. Now let me give you another thought. Who's the word of God?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is the word of God, isn't he?
Yes.
And so all this has to do with believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe the Word of God. God's Word is more powerful than your works.
Yeah.
You can do your works and your heart not be right.
Yes.
But the Word of God will discern. You understand? It'll reveal. It shows. It'll expose. You follow me? And so when you look at this, this is all about resting in the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Jesus fulfills the law. He's died, he's buried. He's in the heart of the earth 3 days, 3 nights. He resurrects. But he still, redemption is not consummated. He has to carry his blood into heaven. And you see this in Hebrews. Read the 8th, 9th, and 10th chapters of Hebrews, and you get insight because he's comparing that to the law, to the Old Testament, like the priesthood of the Old Testament, the sacrifices of the Old Testament. He said those sacrifices of animals, the blood of animals, couldn't purge our conscience. And without shedding of blood, there's no remission. So what does Jesus do? Jesus carries his blood into the real, not the copy. They were putting that blood on, animal blood on the copies of what Moses had seen. Jesus put his blood on the real mercy seat in heaven. And it's there to this day calling for mercy. You understand when Hebrews 7:25 talks about Jesus ever lives to make intercession for the saints. He's not tugging on God's coattail. All it is, you just look at the blood. That blood is talking, just like Abel's blood was calling vengeance. Jesus' blood is calling forgiveness. You follow me?
Yeah.
Rest in it. Rest in it. That's why he said to come boldly to the throne of grace. In our time of need, you need help? Come boldly. How can I come boldly? Recognizing that Jesus has done the work for me. It's not based on my performance, how good I am, how bad I am. It's how good Jesus is. And so Jesus gives us access into the presence of the Father. And so we rest in Him. Everything is in Christ. Not beside Him, and certainly not away from Him. But everything, oh, people talk about the benefit. God did not cut covenant with me. God cut covenant with Jesus. You understand? He cut covenant with Abraham. Now that covenant carried on through his descendants. But the new covenant God cut with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if I become one with Him,
yeah,
I share the covenant. That's where our benefits are. And that's what we're talking about, being born again. We're talking about becoming one with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why He calls it a body of Christ. You with me? A body of Christ. Well, how many of you know that if your body's functioning, it's going to be connected to your head? And the head is Jesus. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when you look at all this, we're resting in the wisdom of the head. And all we do is what the head is telling us to do, being led by the Spirit of God. You follow me? And I'm going to tell you, there's such a liberation in this, because I know my own personal life growing up in the denomination I did, and I know Stephen can give a witness to this, you can't be good enough. They'll work you to death trying to measure up to a standard. Well, why not just get in Jesus? And that's what God's calling us to do. That, you know, when you look at Ephesians, Colossians, where it talks about in Christ, in whom? In Him. Mm. Clothe yourself. Put Jesus on. Get inside Him. And quit trying to do things yourself. Then you can rest. That's your Sabbath. You cease from your work. Do you know what my work is now? Jesus told the religious people, what do we do? He said, your work is to believe on Jesus.
Yeah.
That's my paraphrase. Your work's to believe on me. So that's our work. And so you put forth all your effort to do that work. Believe in Jesus. Well, what am I working to do? I'm working to find out who He is and what He's done. And when I find out who He is and what He's done and His integrity, then I can believe in Him. You understand? It's more than a confession. If you don't believe it, your confession's worthless. Mm-hmm. And it's not a head belief. It's not a mental ascension. It's a heart. You have to believe in your heart. I don't know if you believe in your heart. You can say all kinds of stuff. You know, I can say, repeat after me, and you say everything. Lord, I make you my Lord and Savior. Well, did you? I don't know. You just said it. Do you believe it? Time will tell. And I can tell you a lot of people go through the confession, but their life shows that they have not had a nature change. And when you get into Christ and you rest, it's because you have a new nature. As long as you're operating under that old nature, Adamic nature, sinful nature, carnal nature, you'll be working. But when you step over into the nature of God, He's resting. He finished the work. Now He's resting. It's a finished work. That's why I say my Sabbath is a person. My rest is in Jesus, who finished the required work of the law. He fulfilled it. Now that is fulfilled, you just fold it up like a garment. We don't need that. We'll put all our attention on Him. That's why He said, the just live by faith. That's why He says, be led by the Spirit of God. That's where your rest is. You understand? Does that make sense to you? Does that help you understand Sabbath? So it's not the day. As a matter of fact, some people, they have, in a lot of countries, they meet, they assemble every day. So which day is the Sabbath? You with me? It's not a day. Your rest is in the person. I've never tried to improve on God's creation. He got it right. He rested. I'm going to rest in what He did. You see where I'm coming from?
Yeah.
Well, Jesus got it right, so I'm going to rest in what He did. That's what He tells us today. That's our Sabbath. Religion couldn't handle that. So they wanted to attack Him. You healed that man on the Sabbath. They plucked those ears of corn on the Sabbath. You did this on the Sabbath. He can't be a God. He violated the Sabbath. He is the Sabbath. We need a revelation of it. Amen?
Amen.
Okay.
Okay. Very good. All right.
You guys okay? You clear with all that? Okay.
Might be best if we pick up with the seventh chapter when we get back together.
I don't want to start in this and get off the horse in the middle of the stream.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
so we'll
pick back up with that. I felt like it was very important that we explain. I appreciate you asking the question, because I felt like not only just for the classroom, but for the teaching that goes out, a lot of people are hung up on the day.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't understand what the Scripture says. They stay in the old covenant, and they're not looking at the new covenant. They don't understand the fourth chapter of Hebrews, or they don't look at Colossians. They're not looking at these and understanding the difference between casting a shadow and the substance that casts the shadow. Okay? Shadow just says, He's coming. Well, I'm going to tell you that He's already come. And we don't need a shadow. We have the substance in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Father, I thank You that You bless us indeed. You enlarge our territory. Your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make Your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up Your countenance upon us and You give us peace. Lord, we invite You to rise up. Let Your enemies be scattered and those who hate You flee before You. Amen.
Amen.
I want to show you something that happened tonight right before your eyes and you don't even know it. We did not have a clue that we were going this direction at the beginning in session 1.